So we will get into now the Beatitude dealing with Matthew chapter 5 and verse 7. Now remember the first four Beatitudes that we've talked about: the poor in spirit, those who mourn, the meek, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Those all kind of discuss an attitude of those in the kingdom of God. And the one we're looking at today is more about an action. In other words, something that those in the kingdom need to be doing. So it says, blessed, verse 7, are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Mercy is different than grace in a number of ways. If you look at some of the dictionaries and lexicons of the Greek language, grace is a kindness or a favor that's bestowed upon one, something that he hasn't deserved. In other words, giving somebody something that they've not earned or don't deserve, that's the idea of grace. Whereas mercy is about compassion, it's about caring, about kindness, and it's not, in some respects, especially from God, when we talk about God's mercy, it's Him having compassion on us and not giving us something that we actually do deserve, which would be condemnation. So mercy is a response. Mercy is a response to people's needs. Mercy means that we feel pity, but it goes beyond feeling to action. In other words, if we're merciful, we want to relieve somebody's suffering. We want to help somebody out. So we see people in misery, we see people suffering, and we want to do something about. And so that's kind of, and we'll come back to some of that here in a little bit, but that's kind of the idea of mercy. And it's active. It's something, it's an action word. And so we see here that being merciful involves doing a lot of things. Doing a lot of things. As far as blessed are the merciful. Well, we're not merciful to God, but we're to be merciful to other people. And there's a lot of ways to show mercy to other people. We forgive people because we have been forgiven. Would someone just read over Matthew chapter 6? And someone read verses 14 and 15 of that chapter. Matthew 6, 14 and 15.
For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses.
So see, that's kind of like this idea of mercy. If we want God to show us mercy, then we are to show other people mercy. And part of that has to do with forgiveness. And we'll probably come back to that later. The scribes and Pharisees throughout the New Testament are shown to be people who were not merciful. They didn't show compassion. They weren't concerned about relieving suffering. None of that. let's go to the Good Samaritan, point something out. That's in Luke 10. Let's go there for a minute. And we'll kind of see the difference there between pity and mercy. If you look at, let's see, whoops, didn't go quite far enough. So Luke 10, notice verse 30. Now by chance a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed by on the other side. Now, both of those guys might have, the priest and the Levite, they might have looked at this man who had been robbed and beaten and left for half dead, and they might have felt sorry for him. They might have felt pity for him. You know, they might have looked at it and said, oh man, that guy is in bad shape. He needs help. And then they went on. But mercy is seeing and feeling pity, but then doing something about it, like we have in that account. And so verse 33 of Luke 10, but a certain Samaritan, he journeyed, came where he was, and we saw him, he had compassion or mercy. So the difference was that they might have all felt pity for him, but it was only the Samaritan that actually felt mercy. He was the only one that did something about it. So that's the idea of mercy. The Samaritan made provision for the man, you know, gave the innkeeper money and did all these things for him. Well, that's mercy. All right? That's the idea of mercy. And he says the reward for being merciful, going back to Matthew 5, is that they shall obtain mercy. That's the reward. So it's not mercy shown by other people on us. It's mercy shown by God on us. This isn't about earning anything, but it is about God looking upon people, and he is not going to be merciful to anyone who doesn't show mercy to other people. He's not going to do it. And he's very clear about that. So I want to look at a number. I wrote lots of different notes on the merciful. To receive mercy, I wrote, means that we will not receive what we deserve. Would someone read Romans 6, verse 23? Romans 6 and verse 23.
For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Okay. Notice some things from that. We deserve death. Wages of sin is death. So that's why we deserve. But those who obey Christ won't receive death, but rather as a gift, something unearned, they will receive eternal life. So let's go to Matthew 18. This is the parable of the unforgiving servant. I want us to notice something there. Verse 23 of Matthew 18 says, therefore the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. 10,000 talents was something that nobody at that time, a regular person, could ever repay in an entire lifetime. And so regardless of what kind of job this man had, regardless how long he worked, he could never possibly repay 10,000 talents. Verse 25, but as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and that payment be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me and I'll pay you all, which wasn't true. He couldn't pay him all, regardless of how much patience. Well, then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, and we could put in the word there, mercy. Put in the word mercy, because he deserved to basically be put in prison. Released him and forgave him the debt. I mean, that would be like somebody, if I owed somebody $100 million and, you know, I couldn't possibly repay that in a lifetime, and him just forgiving the entire debt. But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, which was a tiny amount compared to 10,000 talents. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, "Pay me what you owe." So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, "Have patience with me and I will pay you all." Notice that's exactly the same words that the other man said when he owed 10,000 talents. So exact same words. And he would not, but went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were very grieved. And came and told their master all that had been done. Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, "You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you?" And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until she should pay all that was due to him, which of course wouldn't never happen. So my Heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. In other words, doesn't show mercy. So, mercy. In Luke chapter 6, we have another saying. Luke 6, verse 36. Make sure that's the right one. Yeah, would someone read that? 6:36.
"Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful."
And there's the reason. There's our motivation, whatever you want to call it. God is merciful. Therefore, as a result, we should be too. You know, just like in other places it talks about, "Be holy, for I am holy." Well, be merciful because I am merciful. He's called the Father of Mercies in 2 Corinthians 1:3. What about James 5, verse 11? Would someone read that for us? Actually, there's several verses in James I want to look at. So let's go to the book of James for a minute.
5:11. "Indeed, we count them blessed who endure. You have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful."
And of course we remember about the end of Job, how God rendered Job double what he had lost. So very compassionate and merciful. Well, now if we go back to James 2, we'll notice something there. James 2. And let's see. Yeah, now would someone read verse 13 for us? James 2 and verse 13.
"For judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment."
So this again goes back to the idea of mercy being something that God doesn't give us, something bad that we actually deserve. Just like was read there in Romans 6:23, sin, wages of sin is death. That's what everybody deserves. But God put in place a plan that allowed him, if you will, to show mercy. So in that sense, mercy triumphs over judgment. But for someone who doesn't show any mercy in this life, then they're not going to get any from God. And I guess we would call that a warning. Those who have no desire whatsoever to be compassionate or merciful, they're not going to get any from God whatsoever. let's go to Luke 10 for a moment. There's lots of places in the Bible that talks about mercy. This is at the end of the Good Samaritan. Verses 36 and 37 says, "So which of these three do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves?" And he said, "He who showed mercy on him." Then Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." See, there's again the idea that mercy is a doing word. Mercy is not just an attitude. The attitude is probably pity. But the action, the doing part, is mercy. And so he says, go and do likewise. Show mercy. To do that means you relieve those who are miserable. You try and alleviate distress. It's active goodwill. All right, this is seen in 1 John chapter 3. So let's move over to 1 John chapter 3. And we'll see how John talks about it in verse 17. Someone read that. 1 John 3:17.
But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him?
And we could say, how does the mercy of God abide in him? Or how does the compassion of God abide in him? If you see a brother in need, and notice it says, whoever has this world's goods, you may not have what that person needs. But if you do, and you can alleviate the need, and you don't, you shut up your heart, that means you're not, again, actively showing goodwill. You're not being merciful. We shouldn't claim that the love of God or the mercy of God abides in us. And only those people who show mercy will receive mercy. All right, let's go to Luke 18. Let's see, is that the one I've already done? Maybe. Oh, yeah. Luke 18, beginning in verse 10. This is another one that shows mercy. Luke 18:10 says, "Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, 'God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess.' And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, 'God, be merciful to me, a sinner.'" God, be merciful. See, the tax collector is admitting that he deserves punishment for being a sinner. So he's asking God to be merciful, to not give him what he deserves. And of course, the Pharisee didn't think he deserved anything bad. And the Pharisee was every much a sinner as the tax collector. So again, the idea is only those people who show mercy will receive it. Nobody else will. I like this quote. Martin Luther, many, many years ago, said, "Mercy is what righteousness looks like in action." I really like that. It's what righteousness looks like in action. Again, mercy is an action word. It's a verb of doing. Mercy is about doing. Here's an example. Let's go back all the way to Exodus 34. This is Moses on Mount Sinai. Exodus 34. Went too far. Exodus 34. And let's see. Oh, yeah. You have that, Jeanette?
Yeah.
Verse 6. Yeah, Exodus 34, verse 6.
And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth.
Okay, now remember this happens after the first two tablets of stone had been broken. And now God is getting two new tablets of stone. And it's that time when the Lord passes before Moses and makes that announcement. He's merciful, he's gracious, he's long-suffering, he abounds in goodness and truth. Then the next verse, he keeps mercy for thousands. And so that was an example. We need to, as his people, to look for opportunities to show mercy. Okay, let's go back to Matthew this time. Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. Would someone read verses 35 and 36? Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 and 36.
And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching. Am I in the right place?
Yep, that's it.
Teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease
among the people.
But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd.
But when he saw the multitudes, see, that's the idea of noticing people that are in need, and that's what Jesus did. He saw all of these people who were in need, and they had all kinds of needs. Well, he was moved with compassion. He was moved with mercy and pity for them. And certainly this whole idea of being merciful, I mean, that's been true since the beginning of time. We go back to the minor prophet Micah. Someone will find Micah chapter 6. Well, I'm there. I'll just go ahead and read it. Micah chapter 6, verse 8. This is kind of a classic verse on what kind of person God approves of. Verse 8 of Micah 6 says, "He has shown you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? But to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God." To love mercy. So, all the bad things that we deserve that we don't get is just showing God's mercy. And the only way we will ever receive real mercy from God, especially at the end of time, is if we are merciful to other people, our fellow man. And, you know, if we never show mercy to other people, it's because we don't understand how God has shown mercy to us. And that, I think, is what he wants us to understand from this beatitude: blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. The merciful are going to be blessed. They're the fortunate ones. They're the ones who God looks down upon with favor because they show mercy. And again, that is shown in lots of ways. Well, let's end up with a couple of places in Psalms. Psalms 103, verse 8, which says, "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in mercy." Not only is he merciful, he abounds in mercy. And then lastly, 145, Psalms 145, verse 8 says, "The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and great in mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works." I think it's one of those beatitudes that should make all of us very thankful. Well, Lord willing, we will continue on and do the next beatitude next week.